Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Jeff Moore, welcome to Australia, welcome to Open House, and welcome to my lounge room.
Oh, it's great to be here. It's a beautiful day, a nice breeze. Your considerably better half is in the room, so that's good too.
And she brights up the world, doesn't she?
She does.
Been a few years since you've been able to get back to Australia.
It has. We were talking that it's approaching 20 years that I first came here, with the plans of returning as soon as possible. And so I didn't anticipate it being this long, but I got busy, and I'm very, very thankful to be back.
Your first demo tape was produced in 1983, is that right?
That's probably right, yeah. I mean, my first album was released in the fall of 84, so it would have been during that time that I was first recording demos.
And on that very first demo, there was an unknown keyboardist who played for you, I believe, who really has struggled to make a name for himself ever since.
He has. I felt like, you know, the least I could do for Michael W. Smith was to give him a leg up and let him play on my demo session. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. You know, and the backstory of that is that, you know, I'd moved to Nashville to pursue Christian music and had left a pretty successful family business and a job, some real job security. And in Nashville, I worked in a shopping mall in a clothing store. And some of you listening have worked in the retail world. You know, it's not the most glamorous existence, and particularly around the holidays. And so one day I was in there feeling particularly discouraged about, you know, how far off track I was. And I was standing by the like, I think the polyester slack rack, as I've told the story before. And a guy said, "Hey, can you help me find some pants?" And it was Michael W. Smith. So that's how we met, was there. And, you know, I've often reflected that, you know, when I think about just doing what you think God's created you to do, that, you know, there I was an example of, I was just trying to make a living for my family and do the right thing. And I took some chances and left this family business. And there, you know, lo and behold, I ended up in exactly the place I needed to be to meet some of the folk that would help me in my music career.
Who else have been some of those key people that have helped you and you have helped along the way?
Well, Bill Gaither shopped in the store as well. And, you know, some of you may not be familiar with his name, but there's probably not been a single man more influential in the Christian music world than Bill Gaither. I mean, not only through his own music and touring and songwriting, but he created some very successful publishing companies. And the first thing I was able to do and quit my day job was to become a songwriter, and it was for a company that he had started. And so he would certainly be. And then there was a great Christian band in the 80s and 90s called Whiteheart. One of their members, Billy Smiley, produced the first several albums that I did. It was very influential. He and I grew up together. Great band called Petra. I toured with Petra for about a year and opened for them all over the world. And I toured with a band called DeGarmo and Key. And they were all really, you know, supportive of me. And then I, in turn, had a great opportunity to work with bands like Audio Adrenaline, who did their very first tour with me, and just a variety of bands that through the years I've had the chance to tour with and return a little bit of the favor.
Jeff Moore in the Distance, a lot of people would know you because of the band that you toured with for so many years. You called it a day in the end of the late 90s for you to focus on your solo career. Do you ever miss playing with the band, having the whole band thing happen?
Yeah, I miss those guys a great deal. I mean, it was a real fraternity that we had. You know, some people would say it was, well, in fact, exactly like a fraternity, like a college fraternity on the road. I mean, it was, you know, they were some of my very best friends, and we had, you know, thousands of shows that we played together, and just it was really a wonderful time. But as I reflect in the 10 years or so since I finished playing with the guys, part of the reason that it's still so warm to me is that we ended at the right time. You know, one of the things, I just didn't want to be the guy that stayed too long at the party. You know, it was like, hey, great when you got here, but why don't you take those leather pants and leave, you know, or whatever. Because, you know, I made music in the 80s, right? So we had some very significant hair and clothing crises through that time. But mullet, it's out, but I said it, but that it went away in a hurry. I think that's part of why it's such a sweet time, is that we ended at the right time.
25 years in the business, 16 albums, I think, is the latest count. How has your music changed all over those years? Have you found any particular themes rising and falling over those times?
I sing a lot lower now than I did, you know, back in the 80s when I first started. That was like Journey and, you know, and even we were listening to Jimmy Barnes driving over. I was like, that's who I wanted to sing. Like somebody gave me one of his albums, you know, like, I don't know, Barnstorming, or I don't know what year that record came out. But, you know, I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to sing that high and that rough and have that, you know. He probably ruined my voice for several years just trying to keep up with him. But so stylistically, it ebbs and flows a little bit. But I think, you know, the thing that's unique about, you know, that I write and record Christian music, you know, I've heard people make the observation that Christian music is like the only kind of music that is, it's categorized by its lyrical content and not by its musical style as much, which is unusual, obviously. What I've tried to do, and through the course of my songwriting life particularly, is I just tried to be honest and be authentic. And, you know, there is a tendency sometimes when you write what would be considered in this realm of sort of sacred music, that you can never write a song about a bad day or about a struggle or about a failure. And, you know, one of the great truths of my relationship with Christ is that it applies to every part of my life. And so I'm writing about hope and loss and failure and success and laughter, all that stuff, you know, all the stuff that is real life and not simply this sort of candy-coated kind of existence where, I mean, you know, I have bad days, but I'm not going to admit it. You know, I don't want to live that way, and I don't think that God wants us to live that way. I think it's about being real and authentic. Because the one thing I've found in this journey to be real, to be realistic and honest, is that life is not hopeless. No matter how dark it is, there's always hope there. And so that's something that probably continues to be sort of the resonating light in my music, even though as I might write about more difficult things.
Around Australia, this is Open House, one of our lounge room chats with Jeff Moore. Another thing that you're interested in is adoption. I believe you've got two teenage sons.
I do. In fact, one's not a teenager anymore. He just had his 20th birthday, so I'm out of the woods on one end. But the other half of that story is I sort of have two families. One wife, Jan would want you to know. That's right. About seven years ago, through an amazing series of events, we traveled to mainland China and adopted a little girl, Anna Grace, who's a nine-month-old little girl. And then 2 years later, went back and adopted her sister, Ashley Rose, who the girls are 7 and 5 now. So I have a 20-year-old and a 5-year-old. It's pretty remarkable.
Tell me about the story as to how that eventuated, because your wife initially had the kind of idea, maybe we should do this. Yeah. What was your response?
Yeah, that's right. She, you know, we'd had several friends adopt and had walked through this journey with them, but it was never on my radar. I mean, I had zero interest in it. And it wasn't like anti-adoption. It was just, you know, my boys were getting older and I had a lot of fishing to do, you know, so I had to get on with it. But, and you know, I traveled a great deal and I was excited about Jan being able to come out with me some more. And there's a Christian artist named Stephen Curtis Chapman, who's one of my very best friends. And Stephen and his wife, Mary Beth, had three kids, or their three biological kids. And one night we were on vacation together and they sat us down and said, hey, we're praying about maybe adopting a little girl from China. And their life was busy and they were trying to simplify things and I just couldn't see it. So I just sat, looked him in the eye and said, I don't think this is the right thing. I think you're making a mistake. You should really reconsider this. And they said, well, all right, we'll keep thinking about it. You know, we'll take it under advisement. And well, about a year later, they completely went against my, you know, input and adopted a little girl named Johanna. And I guess when she came home is when my wife's heart really kind of jumped a beat and she really felt like God was beginning to process that for her. So she talked to me about it and I was just hideously unsupportive. I mean, I couldn't have been. In fact, I remember the very first thought that occurred to me was I have to figure out how to stop this. That was the, I wish I had a more profoundly spiritual answer, but that was it. And so she asked me to pray about it, and I didn't, and I, in fact, forgot about the whole thing. She waited about 2 or 3 months, talked to me about it again, and at that point, she really kind of pressed in and said, this is important to me, but I don't know what this means. So, you know, she could have played kind of the guilt card. She never did. She never pressured me. In fact, at one point in the journey, I mean, she's an amazing woman, has loved me well. And I just said, look, if you want to do this, let's do it. I'll do it for you. And she said, no, that's not the way I want this to happen. God's got to confirm this in our hearts. And so I finally agreed to at least seriously consider it. I read a couple books, had some talks with people that I felt like were relatively objective. Slowly God began kind of working that over in my heart. And what I mean by that is that I got to a point where I really began to feel like, I don't know if this means I should adopt a child, but I think this means that I need to have the courage to take a few of these steps. So that was considerate. That was fill out an application, engage an adoption agency, and sort of see, because it's a long journey. And so now, it's been the single greatest experience of my life to teach me about how little I know about life and what I should do. And because, you know, left to my own devices, I would have missed this. And, you know, one of the things as a Christian, I believe, is that God cares about us enough to provide for us what we need, even when we don't know we need it.
So what have Anna Grace and Ashley Rose helped you to see that you didn't see before?
Well, that women are women, no matter what age they are, that's for sure. My Ashley, when she's about 3, she climbs in my lap, just crying her eyes out. You know, I mean, like hardcore heaving crying. I'm like, Ashley, are you okay? What's wrong, sweetie? I thought she's hurt. She said, Anna won't play with me. Anna won't play with me. That's your sister, you know. And I said, well, baby, it's okay. I tell you what, let's go, you know, whatever, work on a puzzle. And so she goes from just heaving crying, instantly stops, looks at me and says, Daddy, I can't put a puzzle together. I am crying right now. And then turns it back on. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm in such trouble. So, but I think more than that is Jan and I talk about this all the time, is just our capacity, the way God built us with this capacity to love and be loved. You know, one of my long list of reasons that I didn't want to adopt back in the early days was that I'd never be able to love this child like one of my biological sons. And, I mean, nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, the boys will tell you, I love them. I love the girls more than I love them. Not really. Just kidding, boys, if you're streaming this online. But that there's no difference. Zero. I mean, God has knit us together, and it took no time. And I think the other thing that we've learned, too, is that, you know, when you're thinking about adopting, particularly an international child or a child in need, special needs child, there's a bit of this altruistic, you know, I'm going to rescue, I'm going to sweep in and take care of this little one. And conversely, you are in some remarkable way rescued and loved and carried away. So it has been, it's been a much better deal than I thought it was, for sure.
Well, the new album is called Speak to Me. You're going to sing a song for me right now.
This is called So Long Farewell. It's a song that I originally wrote it for one of my boys' graduation from high school. And it's really kind of for anybody that's ever had to say goodbye to a good friend. So, you know, in hopes of, you know, staying close and all that. So, yeah.
On Open House, right across Australia, Jeff Moore and Dana Weaver on guitar. This is So Long Farewell.
Soon, so fast, time must fly the way it's passed, and I'm already missing you. So much to say of hopes and fears and prayers we've prayed, I'll be remembering you. The miles won't keep us apart when you're in my heart. So long, farewell, goodbye, my friend. This is not the end. I'll be there for you. Through sun
and rain through better days and hurricanes. I'll be believing in you. Remember what we've always said. Live with no regrets. So long, farewell. Goodbye, my friend. This is not the end. I'll be there for you. God make his face to shine on you and bring you peace. I pray this blessing for you. So dream your biggest dreams and don't fear anything, and dust off those old wings and get ready to fly. To fly. So long, farewell, goodbye, my friend. This is not the end. I'll be there. So long, farewell, goodbye, my friend. This is not the end. I'll be there for you. And God make his face to shine on you and bring you peace. I pray this blessing for you. Pray this blessing for you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.